We begin by singing song 215, hymn 215. What a happiness to be redeemed, Lord, through thy blood. What a happiness to be redeemed, Lord, through your blood. I dip deep into this flood, free from sin, free from impurity. Happily rejoicing, Jesus is faithful. Praise the power of his love. Praise the power of his love. The power of love which redeemed us. What a happiness to be redeemed, Lord, through your blood. No pain anymore. Now I have courage. The light came up in my heart. Now I don't doubt anymore in my race. Praise the power of his love, which redeemed us. All sickness is healed. All is well. My Savior, my God and Lord, in you I rest. Together with you, I overcome the power of death. What blessed words! It is finished. I would just like to read a word before we pray from Hebrews chapter 2, right from verse 1. Hebrews 2 from verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Let us now stand up and worship together. Faithful God, we thank you for these precious hours which we may have together and also with you. But Lord, your word is above everything to us. We don't want to let go of your word, but we want to hold fast to that what you have given unto us. And therefore we come time and again and hear over and again what you have to say unto us through your holy and precious word, that we don't let it slip in this last and serious time. Be merciful to us now in this hour, Lord. We ask you, give your servant, our beloved brother, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Give your word with power and might. Speak to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You will give beyond asking and understanding. Receive the praise and honor and the worship, for your word remains. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word remains forever. Therefore we worship you and glorify your wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I believe the singers will sing a song. Come to the front. We are grateful to the Lord that we can be again here. That what is happening on earth changes day by day. There are various occasions to which one comes together. The one of today is known to us. And I hate to think about. Probably it doesn't fit here now. But maybe it should make the one or the other think. Yesterday, I attended a funeral. And I myself thought about life. Many others probably also, about the whole purpose of our being on earth. What does God want from you and from me? What does He plan with you and with me? What is His plan, His aim? And if we think about this, then we come already to the question, for what did God create all things? What is the real purpose of our being here on earth? Today, we are a mixed crowd, and therefore, on the occasion of the wedding, I don't want to preach at all, but just simply reading a few verses from the Holy Scripture, that we trust the Lord, that He speaks to us through His Word. And I presume that we all, who we are here today, on the inside, are ready to hear what God says to us in His Word. Not only that, what we want to hear, but right that, what we don't want to hear, will be a medicine for us. In Hebrews 2, we all read, it says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What is salvation? Wherein is salvation? Is it only a promise? Is it a grant of which one doesn't know whether it's true or not? Or is it a divine certainty? If salvation is tied to a man and made dependent on human inadequacies, then I could not put my trust in it. But since it has its origin and its completion, both its origin and its completion in God, therefore we can put all our trust in the Lord of glory. Also the singers have sung of the day of salvation. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, in verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is not just a proclamation, but it's a divine fact. It has its origin in Him who has brought salvation. And we think here on the word of Paul to Titus, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men." It's not only a grace, it's a healing salvation, a saving, a redeeming grace. And here we are told, "At the acceptable time I have heard thee." That presupposes that a person prayed, that he called to God. If I haven't called, then I can't tell anyone, "I thank you that you have heard my cry and that you helped me." And here we come already to the central point of the proclamation. When it is written here, "At the accepted time I have heard thee," then with it are people meant who called to God, people who in their soul were touched by the Word and Spirit of God and who cried out to God. Such people are heard. Now you may say, "Who shall cry to God here?" A man who was touched by the grace of God and recognizes his lost state and knows that he must go down. He will, when he realizes that the Lord has become our Savior, he will let the cry of his desperation rise up to God from the depth of his soul. We have the word in Psalms, "Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will save you, and you shall praise me." Who is actually a Christian in the eyes of God? How does a person become a Christian? How does a human being become a child of God? These thoughts occupy me. And I think, most surely, not only me. Our Lord says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, "What is born of the flesh is flesh, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." How do we become a child of God, a true Christian? And here we must begin with God. We must begin with Christ. And to put it briefly, Jesus Christ was the manifestation of God in the shape of a human being. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. Jesus Christ was both God and man. According to the flesh, he was begotten by the Spirit, because also his body, his blood, everything had to be of divine origin and thus holy, totally perfect, absolute blameless. in order to be able to offer a lawful and valid sacrifice before God. Christ, as the Son of God, was begotten by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit. These three criteria must necessarily be manifested in the life of a true Christian. Just putting on a Christian appearance like a mantle, or making a Christian face, or belonging to a Christian fellowship, that has really not saved anyone until today. Whoever wants to see the glory of God must necessarily have an encounter with Jesus Christ, for through him the kingdom of heaven came on this earth, and alone through faith in him we can be saved. This little sentence, this statement, "At the acceptable time I have heard thee." You people who are here today on this honorable occasion, and all of us who come under the sound of the Word of God, we want to say it to each other. God is willing to hear. God wants to hear. God is willing to answer. God wants to answer. But the answer comes only there where it is being called. And a man who really wants to call, he first has to have come into desperation. And then nobody needs to tell him anymore that he should call for help or cry for it. Every man who really comes into an emergency situation, he will know what to do at this hour. A person who has not yet come spiritually into this inner desperation, sending the cry of his soul up to God, is not yet saved at all. It's as simple as that. And I don't think that we can take it upon ourselves and even load it on ourselves that we withhold the truth from the people. Only the divine truth makes free. And one part of this divine truth is that we, in the trouble of our being forsaken by God, in the trouble of our lost estate, that we just once understand that we need salvation, and that we, without the salvation of our soul, are lost. And if the Spirit of God can work this in your and in my heart, then we will call to God, and he will answer us and say, "I have heard thee at the acceptable time, and have helped thee on the day of salvation." In the prophet Jeremiah it is written, "Whom the Lord heals, he is healed, and whom he helps, He is helped. Let us be honest. Can everybody of us, with all his heart, testify in the presence of God, Lord, in my desperation, I have called to you. You have heard me. You have helped me on the day of salvation. You have been merciful to me. I glorify and I praise your wonderful and holy name. We, of course, haven't been invited to any pious club, but into the church of the living God, to be born into it by the Holy Spirit. Now comes the second part of this verse. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Holy Scripture speaks also of another day, namely of the day of the Lord, of the day of judgment, and of the destruction of the wicked. The Holy Scripture speaks of the day which will burn as an oven. But here we are made aware of the day of salvation. And this I want to emphasize today, the second part of verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Whoever has read the last book of the Bible, he will know that there it is written that when the time of grace is over, the people will call to the mountains and hills, crying to them, "Ye hills, cover us, and ye mountains, fall on us." Why, after the time of grace, calling to the mountains and hills, rather now calling upon Him who created the heaven and the earth, all the mountains and the dry land, and also the sea and all what is in it. And then we are helped. The Lord wants to help you and me. And I plan to read you two more scriptures. The one I would prefer to not even mention it. It's of course necessary that all of us search once in the Holy Scripture. But I do it anyway, so that I spare you from searching. I read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10. I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set eternity in their heart. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. This is a wonderful word. God has already put eternity into the hearts of the people who come to him and who have recognized and experienced him as the Eternal One. And we received by the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, forgiveness of our sin and guilt, and eternal life. It says that God has given to the sons of men an exercise, a task, to understand the meaning of life and to search out what he planned with you and with me and with all of us. And afterward it is written that he laid eternity already into our hearts. God has arranged everything in an excellent way. Can we not confirm this? Don't we have a mighty amen to that? Already in the natural, God arranged everything in an excellent way. Could man improve even the slightest thing in creation? When we think about that countless creatures live in the oceans, if one would put the animals which are living on the earth into the water and those who are in the water onto the dry land, then both of them would disappear in a short time. Who has made the laws for everything? Who made it this way, that the fish can go down to the bottom of the sea? Who created the earth with everything what is on it, and the sea with everything what is in it? In the book of Revelation, it's of course written, Thou, O Lord, art the one who created all things. And do you know? When God makes a creation, then in such a way that nothing is missing or that something could be improved. If this already applies to the earthly things which we see, how much more than on the spiritual? Here, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 4, it is written, from verse 10, The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything was created by him and for him and through him. That's how it is written in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 18. With whom are we dealing? With a religion? With men who are born in sin themselves and who have lost the orientation? No, we are dealing with the living God who left unto us his infallible but binding word for us. Blessed is the man who can believe. Faith is a gift from God. And the true faith in the only true God, it is not given to us while we read the newspaper or listen to the news. It is not given to us when we speak with wicked men about all kinds of things. The faith which God wants to lay into your and my heart is given to us under the preaching of the word by His grace. And this can really happen now in these minutes. And may God grant it to be so. I read once again, He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set eternity in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. They are busy with that, what was before time, whether this or that existed. I'm not interested in this at all. I'm interested in that, what God determined for my salvation. And I'm not interested in what was. I'm interested in what will be throughout all eternities. And I want, by the grace of God, belong to them to whom eternity was already at their lifetime on this earth laid into the heart. Just imagine, the eternal God has revealed His eternal thoughts in His word, and we have these divine thoughts taken into our hearts, and by it we received already a part of God, yes, a part of that what was in eternity and what will be. However, this point of the human limitation, that gives us a hard time. It is hard for man that he cannot overlook the doings of God. That makes him trouble. But when God looks at us graciously, about what should we be troubled? Right afterward, in verse 14, it says, I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it, that men should fear before Him. What we are missing in this time is the fear of God. People have fear of a catastrophe, fear of an atomic war. They have fear of all kinds of things, but they have no fear of God. And it is still written in the Bible, the fear of God is the beginning of the divine wisdom. What good is all the other fear for us if we don't have the fear of God? And now, the solution of the riddle. If we have the fear of God, then we have no other fear anymore. Then we have awe and respect before God and His Word. And then we know everything will come the way as it is written. Nobody can change anything about it. In closing, a word of the Lord from the Sermon on the Mount. It is well known to all of us, namely, right at the end of the longest sermon which our Lord preached. It was the longest sermon which He preached to the people. Matthew 5, 6 and 7. And at the end of this long sermon, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." It was not the loud voice, it was the quality of the words, the quality of the divine speech which came forth from the mouth of our Lord. You can of course imagine, at that time there were no microphones yet, no loudspeakers and amplifiers, and He had to speak under the open sky to thousands of people. When it says here that His sermon was mighty, then not in terms of the volume, but in the matter. And the same we can say today. God speaks once more through His Word and through His Spirit. And whoever hears His speech, he will not talk it down, but beat on his chest and say, "This was mighty. The Lord spoke in a mighty way to my heart." And we will be deeply impressed and, as written here, very astonished or affected. A sermon which people can shake off has failed. It must be a sermon through which God speaks personally to a man and urges him to make a decision. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of grace. On the day of salvation, I have heard thee. Let me say this here very clearly. The day of salvation is reaching its end. The evening of the day of salvation is already here. And we are about to enter the midnight hour. But whether at the beginning or in the middle or at the end of the day of salvation, God calls out to us, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart." May God, through His Spirit, work in you and in me, that we call to Him and that He can answer us. On the day of salvation, I have heard thee and I have helped thee. Be of good courage, for I am your God. This is something very wonderful. And in the word of introduction, this serious admonition. How shall we escape the wrath or judgment of God if we neglect so great salvation? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time of grace. Today you can send the cry of your soul to God and to His throne. And He has given the guarantee, I have heard thee on the day of salvation. And let me right at the end say why God already through the prophet Isaiah could make this prophetic statement in advance. Simply because the salvation of God was made dependent on the act of redemption that would happen on the cross of Calvary. And God knew that on the cross of Calvary a complete redemption would take place. And therefore, He could already say in advance, I have redeemed you. I have helped you on the day of salvation. I have heard thee. Why? Because on Calvary, the reconciliation took place through the Son of God, through the holy, divine blood which was shed. That is why He heard us. A man who prays to God without going through Calvary and via Jesus Christ, he can pray as long as he wants. We, as men, must meet God there where He revealed Himself to mankind. And this divine revelation to mankind was in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore it is written, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby they must be saved. Only in the name of Jesus. Beloved, may nobody have the impression as if we emphasize the Lord Jesus too much. By this, we give glory to God. For God became man in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we don't look for Him in any tree or in the nature. We look for Him there where He is found, namely in Jesus Christ, in your and my Savior. May the Lord bless us all. May He have spoken to us, causing now the cry in our souls, and He will hear it. Amen. Let us stand up. Before we pray, we sing the chorus, Just As I Am.
Unsere Häupter neigen.
We want to bow our heads, closing our eyes, remaining in silent prayer before God. Perhaps the Lord, to the one or the other, today, given an unprecedented opportunity to make his decision for Christ. What would be nicer as than on that day when the Lord calls his own home, somebody could say, on this wedding day, there in Krefeld, the Lord called me and I came to him, and now I may participate in this great heavenly marriage supper. May the Lord grant it. I would like to just give one call. While all the heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, and all hearts are opened, has the Lord spoken to you, precious heart? Then give him now the answer. No one sees it, but only the Lord. We stand before God. Have the courage. Before I pray now, O Brother Rus, that we briefly raise our hands, if the Lord has spoken to you. The Lord sees the hands. He knows how we mean it. He sees the hearts. And I'm sure that the dear ones who have invited us to this feast, in their heart, they rejoice. Because of the fact that the Spirit of God is at work, the moment will come where the Spirit of God will not speak anymore, and the working of God will be no more. And therefore, we are so grateful to God that he still speaks and that he is still at work. Praise be to his holy name. I would like to ask Brother Rus that he comes, that he prays with us. Heavenly Father, you have seen the hearts, O God, for you know every heart, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we could again hear your word, faithful God. We worship you. Today we call on you, now in the acceptable time, where the day of salvation is, O Lord. The day comes where it will be too late. But today you are still speaking, Lord. Today you are still speaking through your word. Your word is still valid. It is still the time of grace, Lord. Therefore we are coming, Lord. And we ask you, all who have raised their hands, meet them this evening. Touch them now, Lord. Be with them, Lord. May their hearts be filled with your divine love, with perfect faith. O Lord, work it in all, Lord, who perhaps didn't raise their hands, but you have seen the hearts, O God. Be merciful, Lord. I ask it in your wonderful and glorious name. Faithful God, we pray also for all who are sick, and especially for Sister Fach, who asked for prayer. May you heal. Lord, may you touch her right now, in this hour, in this moment. For we have experienced it, that you have helped so many, and us you also helped on the day of salvation. You have heard us. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify your wonderful name. Lord, do not pass anyone by tonight. We don't know. It could be for the last time. But be merciful, Lord, and help each one by your grace. We thank you once again also that we could experience this day, that the couple has invited us to this wedding day. But Lord, we are waiting for the day when you will take us home, the great wedding day, Lord. There we want to be with your people, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with all the saints throughout all the ages through. Bless us, Lord, and make us ready. Make us ready that we don't let you slip, Lord, as we read. Let us hold fast to your word, Lord, in this last time, in this last hour, Lord. Help us all. I ask it by your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise, honor, glory, and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen.